Ready?
In 5, 4, 3.
Hey guys, Nick Campbell here, and with me always is
David Steele,
and we are
Rhythm and Wit. Yes, this is a podcast where we discuss and explore the creative and artistic expressions of artists and performers in Oklahoma City and beyond Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and this is a unique pod. This is going to be a unique little pod that we got that we're actually going to be covering a few things that we don't typically cover, and it's going to be fun, man.
It's just a one-on-one pod, which we wanted to. We've been talking about doing just a one-on-one pod for a little while, just to kind of catch up on stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had some ideas that we kind of wanted to, some little topics and things that we wanted to talk about. So let's see, where should we start?
We want to catch up. You want to catch
up? Yeah, I was going to say, what do you got? What's been going on? Like lots of shows, obviously. How many shows are you up to now that you're producing? Really just the three, right?
Yeah.
That recur.
And I think we're doing Put a Cork in It. We have those two shows every month.
Right.
The second and fourth Friday. Those have been going really well. Mm-hmm. It's been great getting people out, and we've been fortunate. I love it when people show up, especially for the comedy on the spots, because those are so much fun. Those might be more fun than doing real material at this point. But for me, I've been doing the comedy on the spots, and then we do the
Bamboo Room.
Bamboo Room.
New one, right? That's the only other show that you're actively producing outside of Put a Cork in It, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm also doing the New World Comic Show.
Yeah,
the
that's another one.
Comedy Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Those are more. Because Bamboo Room, you're doing every month, right?
Yeah, Bamboo Room's every month. And we've got a lot of great people coming in.
Yeah.
Tawny over there, she's the manager, and she's really helped us out a lot. They printed out a bunch of stuff. They told all their people.
Yeah, they're like promoting, which is nice to see. I think a lot of the places that, you know, you work with some different places, obviously, all over, but.
Oh, yeah, Tawny's putting together drink specials just for the night.
They're really excited about it.
Yeah, they really, and it's in my town.
Yeah.
So I get to, whenever I go to the store and I'm seeing the same people.
Yeah, you can kind of, it's easier to get people out when it's like, it's down the road.
It's just right there. You're going there anyways.
What's the place called again?
It's called the Bamboo Room.
The Bamboo Room.
Bamboo Room. It's over off of Air Depot in between.
I know. I drove by it at DoorDash. Yeah. I've been DoorDashing out there. I know kind of where it is. But
it's a pretty cool spot, man.
Yeah, I should be able to make it to this, hopefully, the next one. I had to miss the last one because there was another conflicting show. But
yeah, you're being too, which leads us to what's been going on for you.
Yeah, I've been doing good, better and better with photography. I'm obviously doing, I just thought about this. I'm getting some gigs off of Thumbtack, which is nice. I'm kind of, it's nice to get people that's like, I would have never met these people outside of, the internet just people needing photography. So that resource has been really nice and picking up. I'm starting to get at least a couple of gigs off of there a month, and hopefully it'll turn into a couple of gigs a week. Mm-hmm. Would be super nice. But, and that might get there. I think it's starting to, I don't know. It's picking up. So that's
good.
Well,
did you, that night that we did Bamboo Room, you actually did.
No, I was doing Don't Tell.
Don't Tell.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's what I was getting at. It's like, I'm starting to do more. All the local producers know me. It's like, that's what I was like. I know almost all the local producers now for most entertainment here. That's at least on our level, right? So it's nice because John Shack hit me up recently or the other day. And I'm doing his show at Put a Cork in It. It's called Magic and Merlot.
Yeah.
And he does, I think, once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there.
I think it's the first Thursday.
Yeah, it would be because tomorrow's the first Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start doing those, hopefully, at least this one. But it's nice, just to pick up those kinds of things because, it's kind of nice to have that kind of hold on, a lot of these It's like most people that we know, if they need a photographer, they think of, you know, one person, or, you know, maybe a couple more, but I don't know. I can't even think of any more, at least in the comedy world, for sure.
There's somebody who's showing up.
Right. I mean, it's actively, you know, trying to do it. Yeah. So that's been nice. I think that hopefully all add up to where I don't have to DoorDash as much.
Yeah. Well, how's your experience been with Thumbtack?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I've used Thumbtack for my business
a long time ago. I remember that's where I first learned about it, like literally freaking 5-10 years ago now. So have you been in Campbell and Son for 10 years now?
Six.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it was around then. I remember you telling me about it, which I like. I think it's definitely the best one that I've used out of all of them. I've tried Fiverr. Fiverr's garbage. Don't use Fiverr. It's. I remember whenever it first came out a long time ago, and I was like, "This is really cool," because it's like the idea is like you could pay somebody $5 for something, you know, if they're willing to take that. But it's a lot of like scams on there. It's most, you have to be wary of any message you get, because it's like it's very, very. But so I stopped using that. Another one is Gig Salad. I've got a couple of leads off of that. They don't charge you for leads, luckily, like Thumbtack does, but I've never gotten a gig off of it. So, but there have been a couple of opportunities where I, you know, at least one recently that I really wanted, they didn't ever reply back. So I don't know.
As far as gigs goes?
Yeah, it's like they whatever. So yeah, Thumbtack has been the best, but they do charge you for leads.
Yeah,
which is kind of nice though, because it kind of locks you. It makes me more motivated to make the deal happen. It's like I already got $40 into this. I need to get, you know, I need to get that back.
Follow that lead out.
Yeah, it's like, but it's nice because it's like when you pay that lead, you're basically paying for somebody's phone number in a way. It's like you don't get someone's phone number. It's like so you can call them and have more of our direct line. So, yeah, but it's been working out. There's only been, like, maybe a couple of times where I paid and it didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good, I think. That's what I'm always worried about.
Well, that's when I was using Thumbtack, that was back when I first started.
Yeah. And it was probably first starting, too. I mean, I don't know how long
it was
still been.
Yeah. I mean, it's been running around. I knew people that used it for side work.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the problem with it now is, like, if you want to sell yourself at a respectable rate, you're really up against a lot of people who are doing unlicensed work.
Yeah.
So that's what I found was kind of the difficulty there. But from what I understand, they've kind of alleviated some of that, but they've also raised a little bit of the prices on the leads, which, you know, back in my day, it was only $10 or $15 for a lead, but now it is like $30 or $40.
Well, it depends on what the estimated cost will be in the end. So, I mean, most of mine are like $10 or $20, you know. But
that's
this,
not bad.
But yeah, this one I got was literally $40. I was like, man, I better get this job.
Yeah.
It'll be a huge payout if they. And I think I'm still in negotiation, but we're gonna.
Well, one month I spent about $600 in leads, and I made probably about almost $10,000 that month off of those leads.
Yeah,
easily.
So I mean, it's definitely worth it in the end, because you're not gonna get those opportunities otherwise. You're gonna have to, you know. You put in your own work unless you are good at marketing and have a really good website and all of that, and kind of have good word of mouth. I mean, you're just not going to find some of these clients. And I think it's nice because Thumbtack is great. Like, if I didn't know any photographers, you know, where are you going to look? You know, it's like you can search Google, but Thumbtack is great too, because it uses like Google has a rating system, so the more reviews you have, the better kind of chances that people want to hire you.
Yeah, and they keep you locked in.
Yeah.
You know, they keep you up to notice. Like, when you finish a job, you send it to the person, and then
they make it easy. Yeah. So I really recommend Thumbtack for if you're looking to make some money and you're worried about the lead stuff. I mean, you might, like I said, you might eat a couple of them, I would say. But once it gets rolling, I think it definitely is worth it.
Yeah, I think as far as like it averages out, it makes it worth it after a while. Now, I don't really mess with it now, mainly because I do Google
but
local
you
services.
Are, yeah, you are, you're kind of more established. I think that Thumbtack is great for when you are starting out, because eventually it's like I can imagine not using it anymore if you have like a regular kind of clientele base that you don't need to find new clients as much.
then it's great supplemental.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I also use. I'm partnered with Home Depot.
Oh yeah,
and so they'll send me out on jobs that they do, and then I'll make contact with the customer and everything. And they put me against two other competitors, and so it's really a first come first serve thing. But between that, my typical people that call me, so my customers and Thumbtack, and then like on occasion, I'll throw something out on Craigslist. But between those, like I keep myself fairly busy.
Just messing around with those, I think it's definitely something that slowly, like we were talking a little bit before this, but like just baby steps each day, you know, it's like it's hard to kind of, I think I get the feeling a lot that it's like I'm missing out or I'm not doing what I should be doing, but I think it's just as long as you're taking one step each day, you're going to get to where, you know, you ultimately want to be more stable.
Yeah.
At least as far as. This is a whole new career for me I'm trying to build, so
yeah.
I feel like it's getting there, and I'm happy with the direction. I wish, like I said, I wish it was maybe a little bit quicker pace of picking up more, but...
Yeah. Well, what's the process? What's the process you put people through in order to get pictures? So say I'm a customer. Yeah. Dave?
Usually. I mean, it's a lot of, like, kind of discovery on my end, as part because people know they have a problem, right? Like... Their problem, right, is that they need photos taken of something that's really important, you know, usually like an event. I think that's something I think about with photography and what I offer, right, is this, you know, events are so, like, certain events, specifically with your life that people go through, obviously, that's a huge, like, I was telling you this earlier, too, is, like, people's pregnancies or engagements is like usually the first one. You get engaged, right? You got to celebrate that moment, get your engagement photos. Then you have the wedding. You spend a lot of money on the photos. That's such an important day, and it's only going to happen once. I mean, unless you're I don't want to name any names, but but you know,
60% of Americans,
so you know, but that's a huge thing. So it's like, do you want to have a photographer? That's why I think people spend so much money on that.
Right.
For weddings, because that is one of their most important days of their lives, you know, and they want to make sure. And that's why I think that I love doing events and performances, too. I think that's why I'm so fascinated by performance art of all kinds, is because it is in the moment, and only it happens that one time, and that's it. It's gone. It's over, you know, if you were there or you weren't. But in my kind of... fascination is trying to capture that, you know, with video or photography. So I think that's what I like about it, and I think that's what people want. So,
well, I think that we've lost the importance of recorded memories.
Like,
it's so easy to record what you're into.
It's kind of taken for granted now, because we all, and that's why everyone's obsessed with their phones and like the camera on their phones. I mean, people just video everything of their life because they want to remember it or whatever, you know. So I think that is something we're all obsessed with in a way.
And it's humans, accurate,
you know, compared to your memory, it's nice, but it's like, you know, obviously, there's a level of cell phone recording versus someone that knows what they're doing with proper equipment that can get, you know, certain angles and better, you know, sound as for one. So it's like, it's nice to have somebody, like, I think that to be able to hire somebody that knows all that stuff, and you don't have to worry about
it. Don't have to worry about it.
So that's kind of where usually when people contact me, it's like they know what they've got going on, but I don't. So I'm like, okay, tell me more, you know. It's like, what are you actually needing? But you can't really just say that, because you have to ask questions about, mostly I'm trying to figure out, like, how long do they want me there, you know. First of all, it's usually pretty easy to tell that, but and kind of just what they're looking for. I mean, I don't know, I haven't been doing it that much to really have a lot of nuance as far as, like, different things that have happened. So I'm still learning, but I think that comes with a lot of my work in the past. Anytime I've done graphic design for someone, it's not that much different. It's like they have something in their mind and I need to try to figure that out, you know.
Yeah, see what their vision is.
So it's kind of, but you know, I don't know, I think it's pretty easy enough for me. I mean, because with photography, I can only do what I do. you know, somebody wants a certain style of photography that I just don't know how to do or haven't practiced that, then, that, you know, I'm probably not the person they want to hire, but I can do something. And I think I am developing a style or a certain kind of look to my photos in a way. I can tell that it's starting to, I'm starting to lean towards more kind of this composition wise anyways. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've always been fascinated by that. I remember doing like photography way back a couple years ago at Fairweather Friends, open mic there. And I liked that room because it was so, you could get way back, way far away from the stage. And like, I would just find like plants. There'd be like a plant and I would just like hide under, kind of like underneath the plant. But it's like, so you get this kind of frame around the nice. Stage with this, like, you know, you can't even really tell what it is sometimes, but sometimes you can. You know, if you blur, if it's, it'll be very blurry, you know, but it's like this kind of element in the photo. But I think that's kind of my style, is like finding these elements to make a frame inside the photo. Mm-hmm. And I like doing that, and I've talked about this before, but like in a show, right, I like getting behind people that are in the audience, and it's like half the shot might be blacked out because it's somebody's shoulder.
Silhouette, yeah.
But it's like, you can tell, it's like you get the feeling that you're in the audience, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I like to focus on. So I think that is kind of something I've been doing with my photography that's, I like, and I think that, I don't know if everyone likes it, you know, obviously some people could be like, well, no, I just want the actual, you know,
yeah.
They don't want all that, which is cool, but, and I usually have very multiple versions of each photo, you know, it's like, you'll get some without, with that, without, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I usually take way more photos than necessary.
See, I like the photos with the silhouettes in them, because it feels, like you said, it kind of gives you that feeling mm-hmm. of like you're there, or proof that there was people in the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do, try to do that too. It's like, you want to show that there's an audience.
Yeah.
Because partly what I like to do when I go to shows is like promote these things and get more people to want to do them. Mm-hmm. So, or go out and experience this. And that's like my real goal. It's like not to really preserve that necessarily, or I want to show it off to get, be like, look, this is happening. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be here too, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what my whole, you know, philosophy, I guess, with it. And all of this is.
Yeah. Create the FOMO.
You want to share. Well, you just want to show that, like, there's cool things happening mm-hmm. around us that we might not necessarily know about.
Yeah, I made that switch from photographs to reels here recently, mm-hmm. trying to build the reels. This last one I made is a little too busy.
Yeah.
For sure. I was like, I really like cutting now, because I figured out how to cut mm-hmm. and different, and then I just, that's all I did, which kind of took away from it. But it's a learning process.
You know, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Is you learn how to do something. That's the most things that I think most graphic designers or people that do like media stuff. It's like you learn how to do one thing. Like the first time you ever learn how to put an outer glow on text.
Yeah.
It's like the, and that's like a huge like amateur look. You know, it's like, oh, they just figured out outer glow. You know, you can tell that, you know, but you do, it's like, oh, this is so cool. You want to put it on everything and do it, you know, a lot to learn how to, you know, and you should, because you want to learn how to, you dive into the deep end sometimes to kind of learn how to swim the best. Yeah. Or
well, that's what I did to this.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I spent so long, Liz was sitting there with me, and I probably spent too long, four hours. I went, because I had 32 clips.
Oh, okay.
So I was cutting things down to my favorite, and then I eventually like cut
these. And
things.
You do this all on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, people do it.
With
I don't
my
know.
Glasses. Yeah. Just like.
You got a magnifying glass.
Yeah. I like it. It's easier on my phone.
I mean,
phone.
That's the thing. Yeah. For people, I get it, because that's like, I find that strange, because I would hate to try to edit stuff. I never like do any editing in my phone. I'll do the editing first. I'll do like add graphics and stuff on Instagram. But even that's like, I hate it. I would rather be able to do it all on a computer with a mouse and a keyboard. Yeah.
Well, I use CapCut, which is, and it's very intuitive on the phone.
I think once you learn how to do it, if you can.
Tablet though, mm-hmm. like it's larger, but it doesn't act the same as the phone.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise I'd use it, because it is like it's hard to, you got to pin.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
like,
you
it's just too small, honestly.
It's too small. Yeah.
You gotta, to get really perfect or kind of the editing to like frame by frame, it's like impossible. I mean, next to it, you can get like a stylus, maybe.
I've got a couple, Apple Pen or whatever. But I like the. I think eventually I'm gonna actually take the leap and learn what how the tablet version works. Just so I can do that.
I think it would be. It's helpful. I think that there is a lot of benefit to a lot of us that you know work with your. Clips for comedy, you know, it's like if you can do your phone and it works for you, that's great. I think there's a lot of benefit to learning a little bit of a desktop program if you can, you know.
Well, I mean, I would. So I got. Eventually, I'm gonna get into DaVinci.
Because that's free. That's the one. You know, it's definitely something you can just download and start playing with, you know, try to learn it. It can be very intimidating, but
Well, Andrew Rose turned me on to that. And I've heard about it here and there, but I really like CapCut. Just because personally.
And I think they have a desktop version too. They do. I mean.
But again, it's not as intuitive as the phone. So, I mean, I take that, but I've learned on the phone. That's my problem. I learned how, if
you can do it, because like I can spend 4 hours editing on a computer too. And so it's not like, I mean, as long as it's not taking you longer, then it doesn't matter.
I've gotten pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I can cut it down. I think what took this so long is because I was learning how to cut it. So, basically, cut.
Maybe you just have a lot of stuff.
Multiple frames in one video, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to see if I can make all the pictures change. At, like, different. But it becomes too busy.
Yeah.
So, that's what I learned. I think that 4 hours taught me what you could have told me in 30 seconds.
Well, but sometimes you just have to try stuff because you don't know. I mean, it might have been badass, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I watched it 100 times.
Even if you told me exactly what you're, it's like, I don't know. You just have to do it and see.
I should have shot it over to you, but no, one of the things I did is I, like, half of the views are mine just because I was like, all right, how am I going to fix this next time?
Yeah.
I think next time I'm going to open it up. Because you do. You start to get better ideas.
Mm-hmm. Because once you see, that's the beauty about creating anything, right? Like, especially if you create something that you create multiple times, like I do with our podcast episodes and every podcast that we've done. It's like each one has built on itself in a way to get where it's at now, where it's like, or at least some stuff that I do has evolved, but you just see, you just like, you have an idea. You're like, I think this will look cool. Let me try it. Mm-hmm. And you might spend hours trying this idea and then you get it and you're like, eh, it was okay. Or sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you just have to keep doing it. But you don't know until you can see it. I think it's like, for me, it's like, I need to create this thing and then I can go in and change it or, you know.
You got to give yourself
the You have to try it first. You have to make something, and then you can make the edits.
Well, usually my thought, I have like an idea in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like once I get the clips that I want to use, then I kind of go through them, and I'll watch each one, and I'll go, okay, let me kind of form this. And then I'll start to form it, and then I start cutting away or adding. And the best part about it is if you cut a piece, then you can restring, like make it longer again to go that direction.
Yeah, you can. So like, you never really, really lose it.
So it's kind of nice to kind of be able to like cut it out or maybe readjust later. And then I personally love, I just really like the comedy scene here. So I get like super interested in like, let me see if I can make this guy look cool.
I think that's what makes you want to do it. Because obviously if you're given like a bunch of like 32 clips of like a drag race, like a race car type thing. And it's like, here, make a reel. You'd be like, no.
They're all going in the same direction. Why do we have to do this more than once?
I don't care about any of this. Why do I want to? You know, I'm going to spend 4 hours editing these clips, you know? But it's like, obviously, I think the comedy is like you care a lot about it. And you care about the people that are in it. And it's like, for me, too, it's like I love editing these videos because it's just like, oh, I want to. It's like we do a podcast and it's like, okay, or interviews and stuff like that. And it's so cool to me to, you know, it's like it feeds that drive of wanting to do anything or putting in effort.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you follow what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nice. But it's also teaching you, to where it's like you could, theoretically, now you could make that race car video, you know, and get paid for it. if you wanted to, you know what I mean? If you really liked editing that much and wanted to get it, it's like, So it's kind of nice.
As long as there's plenty of crashes.
You kind of learn, use your interest to learn the skills, and then you can take those skills other places.
This episode of Rhythm and Wit was brought to you by Campbell & Son Electric, Oklahoma City's trusted one-truck electrical contractor with over 20 years of experience in the field. Whether it's upgrading your home's electrical service, troubleshooting issues, or tackling small commercial projects, Campbell & Son Electric delivers top-notch work with care and attention you'd expect from a family business. Servicing areas like Dell City, Edmond, Yukon, Mustang, and beyond, they're your go-to for reliable expert service. Need help with your next project? Visit CampbellAndSonElectric.com today and get it done right the first time. Campbell & Son Electric, brightening Oklahoma, one wire at a time. Well, speaking of making cool things, all right, yeah. What about all these cool podcasts that everybody are making lately? What do you think, Dave?
It's interesting because obviously we know all these people that are doing the other podcasters that we know, right? Like they're all our friends. But it seems like podcasts are really taking off, at least the local podcasters that we're going to talk about are on firing on all cylinders, I feel like. And it's like I haven't seen it like this ever. I mean, you know, since we've been doing our podcast. So it's super nice. I've been listening to a lot more lately. I want to try to get into that routine of like listening to everybody's stuff. Week to week,
dude. I'm doing it right now. There, just to let everyone know that when we mention you, that I have listened to you while in a dark place in an attic
or on the toilet. That's where I thought you were going.
No, I wouldn't do that. That's where I do my Instagram reading.
Yeah,
but no, it's
that's where I make my reels.
That is true. That is true. Which is why they're shitty. But I've been listening to... Okay, we're going to go through the first... Yeah, roll through them. So the first one that I've been listening to is Cody Troutman's... The Trout Pod.
Cody Trout Pod.
Yeah. I'm Cody Troutman, and this is my podcast. The Cody Trout Pod.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome back to the Cody Trout Pod. Uh-oh, hold on. The studio audience going wild. It's, you know, what's weird is the acoustics in here. Only I can hear it in the headset, but trust me, the studio audience loves you. Nick Campbell, welcome to the show.
What's going on, bud?
Man, it's good to have you.
Thanks.
Cody Trout Pod. Cody Trout Pod. On Instagram, you can see Cody Troutman as well as Cody Trout Pod.
Oh, because he has two different Instagrams. One for the podcast and one for his comedy.
And I love them because they're so well structured.
Because it's interesting. Cody Troutman, I think that he's probably the first podcast. I'd only listened to him recently for the first time, but he's had this podcast. I remember hearing this podcast around the first time I'd ever seen him. Maybe he promoted it or something on stage, I'm sure. But it was like one of the earliest podcasts I remember even hearing about. So it's cool to see. And he hadn't done it for a long time until recently. He's really been getting back into it. But the first one I listened to, I think, was your episode with him.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that was awesome to see. Yeah, like you were saying, his structure. He's very structured in the way he likes to, and which I think is great. It's very just professional. Very like top of the line.
Yeah.
Probably the most professional local podcast that we have here.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, in that realm. Because even the theme song, you know, it's like that.
Yeah. The Cody Trout Pod.
It's awesome too, and it works. I think that kind of stuff, sometimes I think that a lot of podcasters, I imagine, like don't want to lean into that kind of cheese, you know, what you hear on every podcast, it's like, but that stuff works. That's why it does, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no really reason not to.
All of my favorite ones do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single one. So he's fantastic. I recognized whenever I was on his podcast was that, he takes the time to think about you as a person. Mm-hmm. He does his studying, kind of like I do with my notes. And then he does some fun things too. He'll throw in like, would you rather, or he does an improv moment.
Kind of like little kind of games and things to word games or like kind of.
Yeah, just awesome. Fun little things. And then he also does this cool thing where, I mean, for me, because he asked me, what do you want to talk about? I was like, I love to talk about comedy.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I do have some stuff here about your electrical stuff. And then we ended up going down this
it was
this road that I wasn't expecting of my electrical experience. And then I was like, oh, these are really great stories that I could probably tell on stage.
Yeah, yeah, you had some good ones for sure.
Yeah. So I think, be sure to check that out.
Yeah, for sure. Check out Nick's episode on the Cody Trout Pod. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, all of them. He's all been doing them, so many.
I finished Evan Hughes's today.
I listened to that one.
And that one was great.
As soon as I saw that pop up, I clicked it. I was like, I was like, oh my God, this is like, because I obviously, we know Evan. We've, you know, worked with him a couple times, and obviously he's done other podcasts before, but it just seemed like, oh, I gotta hear more about this guy's story.
Well, you know,
and
Cody's
that.
Gonna get into
it.
Yeah, and he does. Yeah. You listen to some of it, or you listen to
all
of
the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Like, so it was, like I said, I think it was the day I was just on Spotify driving around DoorDash, and I was like, oh, I need to listen to a podcast, and then I pulled it up, and it was right there on new episodes of all the podcasts I follow, and I clicked it like as soon as I could. So it was very good episode, great episode with Evan, and talks all about his kind of history and stuff.
Was you know, Evan is a producer as well. Mm-hmm. He's like one of the producers of Tulsa, and he does so many shows, and he got with so many venues, and it's interesting to me because it's like, oh, well, I'd like to think I'm on the same path.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, oh, I get to hear.
You can learn something.
And he had a lot to say, you know, he had a lot to say. A lot of it about what I really enjoyed was like the forgiveness aspect, or trying to just do something for the fun of it, which this I love.
Yeah, his whole philosophy on the way his life is fascinating.
Being okay with making mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same stuff we talk about too, which is great. But no, it was really inspiring. Cody's was
Well, because even what I was going to say before we move on is with your episode, like all that stuff when you were getting into your, it was kind of in the nitty gritty into like how you run your business almost, and how you, because Cody's a businessman as well.
Yeah.
So it's like he had a lot of great questions, and it's like I felt like it maybe went too far into that a little bit, but if you weren't interested in it, but I mean, I thought I learned a lot. I feel like just, or kind of, especially how I can apply it to my own business or whatever, photography.
Yeah.
So for sure, I think it was definitely worth listening to, and especially because you are a successful businessman. You've been doing it 6 years, so
yeah. They say after if you make it past five,
So yeah, that was very cool to listen to. Also, not only you get into like producing and how you do all that, so which I already know a lot about, but it's great to hear. And
we'll hear that different perspective too, and that it is difficult. Like whenever you see someone like him, and you're like, "That guy's got it figured out."
Yeah,
you know. And but he's still like, you're still worried nobody will show up. Still, you know, it never ends. So at least knowing that, you can go like, okay, so it's not just
It makes it kind of takes off some of the anticipation, because I think that we all like fear the unknown, right? And it's like if you can know a little bit about somebody else's path, that's, you know, doing the same thing that you're doing, you can alleviate some of that fear.
Yeah. But Cody, by far, doing a great
job.
Check
out those. Yeah. His
Cody
podcast.
Trout.
Another one I've been listening to. I've listened to, you know, for the past couple of years, not regularly, but the Keeping It Wood podcast.
Keeping It Wood.
With JJ Wood.
Get a little coffee drink here. Coffee at 9 p.m. on a Sunday? JJ, have you gone insane? Sure have.
I should have known. Should have known, dude.
Welcome to the Keeping It Wood podcast.
He's been kind of similar to Cody. They've probably been around the same amount of time, but also kind of hadn't been doing it for a long time, but recently it's been really
pumping them out
every week. And I listened to your episode when
I was on there as well. Yeah, check that one out.
Maybe a couple months ago, and that was great. And it was fascinating to hear, because I listened to JJ a few times, like a couple years ago even, but he's very relaxed. He's like very the opposite of Cody Troutman in a lot of ways, especially the ways that, I mean, he's just super relaxed and just kind of doesn't, you know, he's a good host for sure. Very different style, but it's very just relaxed and very kind of flow and just conversation, which I like. I think that between those two, I like to be more somewhere in the middle of both, because I like the, I like it to be feel free flowing, but I do like some structure.
Well, see,
there.
The thing with JJ's though is anything can happen.
Yeah.
So on Michael Dunn's episode, yeah. he just busts out the phone
okay,
and calls yeah. this lady to ask. I guess they had a situation where he just calls her right mm-hmm. then, and you could see Mike be like, "Oh, okay, we're yeah. calling somebody."
She was a Keepin' Wood podcast favorite guest.
Oh dear.
In 2024, we're gonna call my friend Mona, and we're gonna answer this question. What up?
Hey.
Hey, you're live on the pod.
Hell yeah.
And this is my friend Michael Dunn.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Michael?
Yo.
Okay, so, fuck.
Are you sure you're done?
Damn.
This is the first time I've heard that.
Is it really?
No.
Oh.
I'm sure you hear that quite a bit, so.
Okay.
But anyways, it was just like a fun thing.
That's awesome to listen to that episode. Yeah. I've seen some of the reels. That's what JJ is very good at doing,
really good
cutting out funny bits.
You see Justin C's?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some good, definitely the reels. JJ's always been on top of the reels.
Because he has that tree, me and the tree.
Yeah.
And those are great. Those are fun.
So yeah, he's always doing a good job with that. And I just love seeing both those guys just, you know, get back on this kind of regular release schedule for sure. Yeah.
Well, you see, like, you can almost see their personality through the mm-hmm. pod, you know?
Yeah.
Like, look at us. I mean, obviously, we would be doing this whether there were microphones or not. We would, we would just be kicking it and talking.
Yeah, I mean, that is big. I do think that's one of the reasons why I always knew it would be a good idea for us to do a podcast, because it's like we have so many. We can have, since we were like teenagers, we were just like trying to contemplate life.
Yeah.
Like, just figure out all this shit that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I always knew. It's like, let's just start recording these conversations because they're kind of interesting. We definitely can get into interesting places with them. But yeah, I think JJ is definitely cool. I like something he does on that show is like he does like these Quora, you know, that is like Q-U-O-R-A. It's like this Ask Jeeves type thing on the internet. It's like Quora.com. You can ask it questions or whatever. I don't know what the structure really is, but he gets like these weird random questions that are like that people write. I think he asked you some of them on there. It was just, you just riff on whatever the dumb question is.
I knew he got some weird questions. I didn't know that's where he got them from.
I think so. Yeah. I remember him talking about it before, but he gets like an email with all these, you know, every day.
Oh, is that what that
is? Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Look that up.
But I've seen it on there. It's like if you ever go on there, it's like, oh, you know, I got a cold. How do I deal with it? And you'll type it into Google, and then Quora is like one of those message board type things that people ask dumb shit like that on there. So yeah, I like that because it's so random, and it's just, you know, it's just an interesting thing to talk about that, and it's great for comedians because I listened to the most recent episode with Ava he had on too, and I just like listening. I've listened to her and him on a previous episode too, and I just like the way they riff and stuff like that. But it's great for comedians; they just freaking go off on, you know, whatever it is and make it funny because that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
So that's great. And like, but it's very different, like, as far as, but it is similar in that
JJ's
way.
JJ's the only one doing real journalism because he's the only one that followed the Dick Bandit. You remember the...
I think I know.
So there was a guy that was using a drone to put dildos on random places in Oklahoma City, and JJ was the only one really covering it.
Yeah.
And I think he even found him. Like, he was like, hey, if you call me,
he
tracked him down. I want to find you.
Yeah.
Like, he told people that.
I remember that a little bit, seeing a little bit of that saga.
So that's fun. If you want to go back, I think it was in the Lenny episode is when it started.
Okay.
Lenny Van Horn, super funny comedian as well.
Yeah.
But if you'll check out that episode, and then after a while, he just keeps, I don't know if he doesn't really bring it up anymore, but obviously.
Yeah.
Well,
but
now he knows who it is.
It's probably
it was probably him.
Past. Yeah. But no, it's not relevant anymore if they're not doing it. So
yeah, so somebody needs to start putting dicks on stuff.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, check out Keeping It Wood with JJ Wood. Mm-hmm. Great podcast. Another one, our favorite guys over at the Copper Valhalla.
You can act like a man. What's the matter with you?
What up?
Hey.
Not liking Mike Tyson is egg mode. Caleb said he didn't like Mike Tyson.
Like his boxing, but not as a person.
Love him as a person. He was framed.
You ever see him on that interview whenever he's talking to the guy? The guy's like, brings up the case, and he goes, "No, fuck you, man. Yo, you a piece of shit." And the guy's like, "Okay, we're on live air." And he goes, "No, man, fuck you."
Yeah, it is funny because like his form of shit talking was just threatening all everybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
Said that in the first 30 seconds of an episode. YouTube's not going to like that, I bet.
Copper Valhalla, Dace.
Dace Carlson, Caleb McCurry, and Tyler Barris.
Tyler Barris, yeah.
Those three. I like their podcast. It's like not, it's the most, all three of these are very different. Yeah. Like they're all, but they, I think they're all valuable in their own ways because I love the Copper Valhalla because they're just goofy. They're just,
it's just like a hang.
It's just like, I love those types. I think of like, there's at least two different types of podcasts that I like anyways. Mm-hmm. But it's like the super intellectual ones where it's like Andrew Huberman and like Lex Fridman, like these people doing these, like even Mark Maron, like just in-depth like conversations and stuff like that. And it's like you're really just, you know, it's just more serious, right? And then there's the ones that are just like turn your brain off and just laugh at whatever these goofballs want to talk about.
Tiger Belly.
Yeah. Like so there's like some, but it's like, yeah, so it just depends on the mood for me. It's like, what do I want? It's usually towards the end of the day, you just like want to relax and laugh at something. Then this is a great one for that.
For sure, yeah. And they get into some silly stuff, and it's super fun. And like I said, it's like hanging out at the couch at a mic.
That's how they do it, too. They film it in the couch and just like just all hanging out. Just
check out the one where Caleb tries to watch the last award show, the movie.
Was it the Grammys or something?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to keep
Awards,
up with it.
Anyways,
but,
Oscars.
But anyways, that's a fun, that's a silly one.
So
Taylor Dunn. Check the Taylor Dunn one.
Was there something, we were talking about this earlier, because I've listened to a little bit of their stuff, and nothing super recent. Was there one that you were...
Well, I was listening to one today.
Yeah.
I didn't get through it very far because I had just listened to Cody and I had listened to some NPR ones.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my, you remember Snap Judgment?
Yeah.
So it's like storytelling with a beat or whatever. that was like my favorite one. Yeah. So I've been kind of catching back up on some, I like storytelling stuff now, which kind of coincides with some D&D stuff that I've been listening to. There's so much stuff to listen to too. Well, so we got the Copper Valhalla. Be sure to check them out.
Yeah. Copper Valhalla is that one. So never mind. Yeah. Go ahead.
And then the next one we have is a group of guys that we have blown up on the little comedy scene that we have here. They make a lot of fun clips. We had Austin Slaughter.
Yeah. The Dipheads.
The Dipheads, as well as, and I don't know if John Groth is of the Dipheads, but
I think Austin said, we're all Dipheads.
Yeah. On the inside.
If you want to be.
Yeah. But they have a really cool one that's just starting that I haven't got a chance to start, but it's a D&D based one.
Yeah, it's the Meat Shield.
Meat Shield.
Because Austin told us about it. I listened to like a little bit of it because I remember I featured it. I had a clip of it in that episode, so you can definitely hear more about it or just listen to the episode.
Yeah.
They had one episode out at that time. I don't know if they have any more than that now.
It looks like they had something else.
Yeah, it's like there's going to be a whole story with this, so that's super fun. And
well, the best part is they have a story.
Yeah.
And
it's ongoing. It's the perfect time to get in on it. Yeah. Is what I was trying to say.
It's ongoing story, but the character that on is it changes.
Right.
So the person who they have on that time becomes a character in the story, mm-hmm. and then they kind of play along as that. Now, the best part about it is you can kill that person off or do whatever you want at the end. And I used to listen to a D&D pod that was called the Dad Pod, but they were dads that aliens had taken their kids, and then they played D&D with their characters as the dads trying to save their kids.
Okay.
So it was just kind of a fun pod, but I love D&D pods just because it's like...
It's people...
Stories, dude.
Just telling a story. And it's nice because it's like... These kinds of medium, right? It's like it's audio. There can be visuals, but usually, even with the D&D podcast, usually, even if there is a visual, it's just people sitting at a table talking. It's not like, doesn't add that much to it. The real entertainment, the value is just people talking and telling a story to each other, and you can just listen to that in the car or wherever.
You're like a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
So be sure to check out Meat Shield.
Yeah.
Now, something that I would want to say is lately I've been getting into local pods more than I have.
Yeah.
Whenever I was in, before I did comedy, I would listen to so many comedy pods because I was like, I want the experience. And now that I'm in it, I'm like, oh, I already got it. I don't need to listen to all these other pods, all these people that I wish I was. Now I'm in the game, right? And it's so much more fun to listen to podcasts of people who are in the game with you.
For sure, yeah.
So you get to like listen to these people that have their experiences, and then I'll, you know, you put them on a show, and then they talk about the show.
Yeah,
and then it's just, it's super fun.
It's definitely a great
involved
way
in it.
I think that's something I've been thinking a lot about lately is this kind of new type of, you know, social experience in a way, because it's like, I mean, obviously social media has changed the social experience in many ways, and I think not many for the worse, right? Like, but I think that's even, I don't know, I think we're still changing. It's still not fully formed, whatever this new social interactions that we're going to have in like even 10 years from now. Like it could be very different than what we're, you know, how we do it today. I don't know. But I think that there's something to this video podcasting world that's like, it's kind of the new, like this higher level of social media. Obviously it takes a lot more equipment if you want to actually do it. But it's like, but nowadays you could make a podcast with your phone and just like a microphone and
see JJ
put it on
up?
YouTube. Yeah. It's like,
it's good setup, and he does really well for what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it doesn't take that much, and that's. But I think that as that goes on, I think that's becoming more of this kind of way we want to communicate. You know, it's like this whole new social experience, and so it's fascinating to me to see it. And I look at it in this way of like marketing, right? Like in this type of like, how do you reach people these days? We talk about this all the time because we're always trying to get people more shows, but like, where do you go to market to them now? Because now, before you go to the newspaper or TV, we're at a radio, you know, like those were the three places that people got their entertainment. The only places you could really advertise anything. But now you have, everybody's got this, and there's a million billion apps that we all use, you know, there's an, every one of them has a different ad way to sell ads to them or whatever. It's like, but that's not even helping you anymore. It's like, if you spend money on Facebook ads, you also have to do Instagram ads and TikTok, you know. It's like, you can't just do one, you know. So it's like, it's in the, and at that point, what's the point of any of it?
Well,
because it's with such a smaller, we're dividing these, you know, the population into smaller and smaller groups.
Well, different demographics go to different apps, which, you know, YouTube
and
TikTok, you're going to get younger. But
it's just annoying.
Think about when you're using your social media.
Yeah.
Are you looking at any of the ads?
Yeah.
No, you're just flipping as soon
and
as
so
you see
even
as
then,
soon as it says sponsored.
Even if you see, even if you get that ad in front of people, that doesn't mean shit.
You're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know it's coming.
So it's tough. Yeah. But
so how do you get those people to make that decision? My the most effective way for me has been talking to them.
Yeah.
Shaking
a
hand.
Well, I think that goes into, because I think that is the case, but also the whole point of marketing is that you can reach thousands and, you know, thousands of people quickly versus if you talk to, you're going to be able to talk to one person at a time, and it's going to take you. You could maybe talk to 100 people in a day if you—that's all you did, you know.
Yeah, if you were really good.
I mean, you could, and that would be beneficial because you could almost guarantee that maybe a quarter of those people would show up. Mm-hmm. I don't know, who knows? But yeah, so that's the problem, right? So like, but I think that kind of a new level to that is like these kind of YouTube communities, right? Mm-hmm. Like YouTube communities or wherever, but. Like this kind of community that's behind a influencer, a podcaster, or whoever, YouTuber, Twitch streamer. Like those are very valuable because I think that the community part of it, like say I'm a huge fan of Kind of Funny Games on YouTube, Twitch. I've been listening to them literally almost 10 years. I mean, maybe 8 years. And like they've been my inspiration for most of all of this. So like, and I love it. So, but the thing is, it's like I have so much invested in that community because I've been, I know those, the guys that do it and they're on camera and stuff like that. I'm like very, you're invested in their lives because you know so much about them. But I think that but I've spent more money on like kind of funny merch than probably anything else specific, like individual thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm so invested in that community. Right. So I think that's kind of a way. It's like if we build our community here and then we have somebody on the show that's promoting a show, I would like to think that our community would be more invested in supporting that person because right. they're a part of our community. And it's like, oh, well, that person is now in our mm-hmm. community also.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the real value is. And it all goes into community, right? But
well, I think
that's something that we're trying to build.
You try to hit it from different angles. So mm-hmm. if you know, you go talk to somebody, then you follow up with an email, then you show them the podcast where they're going to see more of it, then you do an ad on all the different platforms, mm-hmm. then you throw up a billboard somewhere. So if somebody sees it five times, usually say if they see it three times, they'll usually try to make the show.
Yeah. Right? Or if they're interested, obviously. Yeah. I mean,
and then if you're like me, you direct message them, you bug them. So
no, I think that is the way to do it. But like I said, it's just all... Anyways, I just think that there is something to this larger type of kind of community online, you know.
I agree.
That, you know, hopefully we're building. I think, you know, we're doing something anyway. Mm-hmm. So
thanks, guys.
And so hopefully, thanks for everyone that's in the community that watches week to week because we definitely appreciate you. And hopefully we'll just keep growing that because that's kind of the whole goal and to ultimately grow that to help everyone else that, you know.
Yeah.
If you have a show, you can come on here and talk about it and you will guarantee to reach a certain number of people. But we'll see. I mean, like I said, every day is another step.
Yeah. So do you have anything else that you wanted to let everybody know about?
I want to talk a couple more podcast recommendations real quick. Obviously Queen Versus we had on our show. They have a great podcast. Olivia Lycan and India Naomi. Check them out. Two drag queens that just talk about their experience in Oklahoma, which I think is one of the most fascinating things. Yeah. That's something I love asking people that live in Oklahoma that are entertainers or artistic or creative people, that's like, what's it like living here for you? Because it's like, this is such a not a place for most like creative or unique individuals. And it's just always fascinating. And I think that it is, the more I ask that question to people or, you know, try to find that out, it's like, it's not as bad as you think. A lot of times, Oklahomans are pretty good people and pretty open, you know. For the most part, more so than I would think. But anyways, that's
might
a great
vote differently though.
It's a great show to explore that side of like those kind of differences between
one of the best produced shows
by far. Very high quality like production with that. And Robert I was trying to think, awesome just tech producer guy.
And these are all runners up for the best podcast witty the end of the year. All these that like we're listening to local podcasts and everything.
We never had a local podcast
we're
category.
This year we will.
So we'll have to keep an eye on these. The last one that I wanted to shout out real quick, that we've been doing actually for a lot longer than I ever think about, but it's the Mycelium Gallery. It has not really a podcast, but an interview series that it's called Tea Time with Barclay. And we do those about once a month, and Barclay will interview one of their artists that's in their artist collective and just it's usually about a half hour, maybe 20 to 30 minutes. And we just shot an episode last week with artist Katie Graham that runs the Artist Closet in the gallery. So they talk about that. That should be out maybe in a week or two because I have to edit it. But it's like, it's been such a cool experience working with them because I love Elaine and Barclay, obviously, at the gallery. So they're super fun to work with on stuff. But Barclay that's kind of how we got into doing this to begin with because she wanted to do this interview series, like before we ever started Rhythm and Wit. And then we started doing them. And that's kind of where I learned how to shoot interviews and stuff, or practiced it for the first, you know, that summer that we did, like, three or four of them. And then I was like, well, shit, I can do this at home and just interview whoever I want. And that's kind of how this all started. So shout out to Barclay. And my Seethem Gallery. Check it out on their YouTube channel. And you can usually probably find them on myseethemgallery.com as well. So yeah, I was on that show. Well, I had to shoot my own episode, but it was super fun.
Yeah.
Nice, that's the latest episode that's currently out.
What was it called again?
Tea Time with Barclay. Yeah, those are fun. They're not really a podcast. It's only on YouTube, but it is a local interview, local artist. Was there one more that you wanted to talk about?
Not Unloaded off the top of my head.
Or no?
Okay. We did Meat Shield. Oh, Unloading Meat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I recently found, like, Matt Farrell did this one.
Yeah, okay. And, is that how you found it?
Yeah, and I wanted to, I just saved it to listen to it. He asked me to come on, but he's also very well produced. Mm-hmm. He does clips. Let me find out.
What's the guy's name?
I'm trying to find it right now. Jared Ralphie Allen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he did it with episode 89 with Matt Farrell. And then he just has really well produced, very, very good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. It's very, so one day I would like to get a chance to go to Tulsa.
It's in Tulsa, right?
Yeah. And do a pod with him.
I know. I think we should do this. Like, we need to go to Tulsa, get a hotel, get somewhere, and just interview. Just
sleep together.
Like, three. Like, all the Tulsa comics.
Yeah.
Or as many as we can.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and that's okay. And, if we're talking about this being a competition, right now we are head-to-head with Cody. Cody's been getting Tulsa people.
I think he did that. I think he went there and recorded a bunch of them.
He did it with Cepeda. Yeah, okay. And Evan Hughes. And
Lacey.
Lacey Raines. And that, dude, Lacey one was so good.
I need to listen to that one for sure. That's definitely on my list because I remember that came out. I was like, this looks good. Like, mm-hmm. She's fascinating.
Well, so. I didn't realize once you listen to these people, I stood next to these people. I've been on stage with, you know, but you don't realize how much they've been through and what they do. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't realize, but if you listen to Lacey Raines, I didn't know that she had a driving anxiety.
Okay.
So now whenever I book her, I'm like, oh, I'm going to book her with a person so they'll drive her up.
No, but that's nice. I mean, that's something you learn more about these people that, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially if you are a local comic, you can learn something that might help you be better friends with them even, you know what I mean? Just learn more about them.
So it's like a half step away from stalking.
But no, those are good. Great lists of podcasts, local. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it's such a cool thing that we're actually kind of having a podcast community and, you know, a little bit here. So, and it's great to be a part of. But almost all of these people we've had interviews with in different forms. Or you've been on most of them.
Yeah. That's why they're getting a shout out.
Yeah. No, but I think, because that's when I realized whenever you did JJ's, you were on JJ's podcast, and then I did the interview with Barclay around the same time. And I was like, oh shit, we're doing it. We're spreading out.
Yeah.
Getting on the other shows.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to not have to be the one in charge and be the one doing the questions.
I love it too. Yeah. I was like so excited to do the Barclay one because I was like, I just got to show up and answer questions. I don't have to plan anything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But keep an eye out on all these podcasts. Yes. We are going, one of these episodes, we're going to start going to all the mics.
Yeah.
OKC.
We have a new, our upcoming episode we wanted to shout out or at least kind of let y'all know about. It's going to be the state of the mic. Is what we're calling it.
Yeah, state of the mic.
And it's going to be, because I thought about this recently. And we did this once before. We had a whole episode. I mean, this is over a year ago probably that we had. And we went through each mic and talked about it and gave our experience about it. And so I was like, let's do that again. Because there's none of those mics from back then are around now. No, maybe two of them,
two or three.
Like Othello's and like, you know,
JJ's obviously. Yeah,
there's like a couple that are kind of staples that probably aren't going anywhere, hopefully. But yeah, there's a lot of new mics now. So I was like, let's do a mic episode. We go through thing is, we're going to do that today, but you're going to actually go and try to hit a lot of these mics. So we're going to do an episode coming up where we kind of recap and review a lot of these mics and give you a ton of information that maybe you hopefully learn about a couple of them that you didn't know about.
Yeah. Well, and also kind of the vibe there and what's going on. And also there's a big thing coming, Twisters.
Yeah, they're going to open or have a new open mic.
Yep. So. I think it's going to be April the 17th. Is that correct? Maybe. The 14th? Okay, my math is wrong. But I'm going to, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to, 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to try to go to all the different mics. We're going to do a little bit of reporting on them. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come back and let you guys know.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that episode probably in maybe the end of the month, I imagine.
Around my birthday.
Yeah. Which, yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming up this month. Obviously, April is always a big month, like arts festivals and all kinds of things coming up.
Yeah, the Norman Music
Festival. Yeah, Norman Music Festival is at the end of the month, which,
it's usually around my birthday, too. Yeah. So that kind of works out. I think there's some comedy there, too.
I'm sure. They all usually do. But, yeah, I haven't seen anything yet. But
we're actually doing a show at SoonerCon. Nick Campbell Comedy is doing this show. It's June 20th through the 22nd. Miles and I are going to rent a room, and so we're all going to hang out and just like kick it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's going to be fun.
And then so we got two shows. We're going to have a show that Friday, I think, and that Saturday. Mm-hmm. But one of them is in the late, so one of them's a little bit more crazy. And then the other one's at like 9, I want to say. But I'll have that information up. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be a fun one. Be sure to come out to that SoonerCon. But that's going to be a fun one for sure.
So that's probably it for the show, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right.
Check out those podcasts, everyone, and stay tuned. We've got some hopefully new guests coming in the coming weeks. So we'll get back to that. I've had some unfortunate things happen at the house that I had to cancel several podcasts. I was upset about it because I'm like way behind on releases.
Well, we had a storm.
Yeah, it was a big storm that knocked out the power, and I didn't have power for like a week.
Then they had to rebuild it.
It was awful. But we're back up and running, so hopefully we have some more regular content for you guys.
We got a Comedy on the Spot.
Comedy on the Spot came out last week, and it's doing pretty well. It's got over 100 views.
Yeah.
They always do well. Those are the best ones, but they're obviously it's a great show. It's very funny. Check that out, and then we'll have the new episode of Comedy on the Spot will be in a couple weeks or towards the end of the month also, because I'm still editing that. But we're getting back to it. I'm excited. I miss podcasting. It's probably been about a month.
Yeah, a little too long.
So we'll be back to it, and I think that's it for the episode.
Well, thanks guys, we appreciate it. Be sure to check out our sponsors, Campbell and Son Electric, as well as the Rhythm and Whip Podcast.
Also, we have an email address. We always try to shout out. If you want to email us at all, it's rhythmandwit@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Send us your press releases. Send us your show announcements if you want. I mean, we'll have the information. Yeah. You might.
We'll say whatever.
Maybe we'll say it. I mean, if you email it to us, that's usually a big deal because we don't ever get emails.
Yeah. And if you send money, we'll say it.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, too. If you want to give us money, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. Buy us a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Make a donation. It'll help us buy new lights because we probably need some new lights because we keep having to trade back and forth. We need to talk about this, but we need to get some more stickers. So we have talked about it, but we need to actually make it happen. But that could go towards that as well. Yeah. So we definitely appreciate any donations you could give us. Mm-hmm. Go to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit.
Yeah. But thanks again, guys. We appreciate it. And we'll see you at the next one.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
All right.
Let me go pee.